ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സ്വാമിവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരതസ് അർത്ഥേഷ്വപി യസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദയ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃദം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേം കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാത് അമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കൊണിദാതൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരിഗദോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, in the sixth chapter of Dhyana Yogam, Krishna has been talking about the how one should prepare for the dhyanam or meditation process. And Krishna talked about how a place should be selected. He mentioned in the verse 11 and 12, ശുചൌ ദേശേ പ്രതിഷ്ഠാപ്യ സ്ഥിരം ആസനമാത്മന നാത്യുച്ഛ്രിതം നാതിനീചം ശൈലാഞ്ജന കുശോത്തരം തത്രൈകാഗ്രം മനക്കൃത്വ യത ചിത്തേന്ദ്രിയക്രിയ ഉപവിഷ്യാസനേ യുഞ്ജ്യാത് യോഗം ആത്മവിശുദ്ധയേ. സോ ഓൺ ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ വാസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ഹൗ ടു സെലക്ട് എ പ്രോപ്പർ പ്ലേസ് ഫോർ മെഡിറ്റേഷൻ. ആൻഡ് he also mentioned that tatraigagram manakratva, after the mind is completely focused on controlling the mind and the senses, Krishna says, and fixing the mind on one point, he talked about the yogam atmavishuddhaye. Atmavishuddhaye, yogam should be practiced. So prior to this, in the last verse, Krishna says, yogi yunjita satatam ആത്മാനം രഹസി സ്ഥിതം ഏകാകീ യതചിത്താത്മാ നിരാശീർ അപരിഗ്രഹം യോഗി യുഞ്ജീത സതതം ആത്മാനം രഹസി സ്ഥിതം ഏകാകീ യതചിത്താത്മാ നിരാശീർ അപരിഗ്രഹം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് എ ട്രാൻസെൻഡന്റലിസ്റ്റ് ഷുഡ് ഓൾവേസ് ട്രൈ ടു കോൺസെൻട്രേറ്റ് ഹിസ് മൈൻഡ് ഓൺ ദ സുപ്രീം സെൽഫ്. ഹി ഷുഡ് ലിവ് എലോൺ ഇൻ എ സെക്ലൂഡഡ് പ്ലേസ് ആൻഡ് ഷുഡ് ഓൾവേസ് കെയർഫുള്ളി കൺട്രോൾ ഹിസ് മൈൻഡ്. ഹി ഷുഡ് ബി ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഫീലിംഗ്സ് ഓഫ് പൊസസീവ്നെസ്. യോഗി യുഞ്ജീത സതതം ആത്മാനം രഹസി സ്ഥിത ഏകാകി യത ചിത്താത്മാ നിരാശീർ അപരിഗ്രഹ. ഫ്രം നൗ ഓൺവേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദി പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് ധ്യാനം, ഹൗ ധ്യാനം ഷുഡ് ബി കണ്ടക്റ്റഡ്. യോഗി മീൻസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് പെർഫോമിംഗ് സാധന. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് പെർഫോമിംഗ് സാധന. സോ കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് That person, Yogi Yunjida Saradam Atmanam Rahasisthitaha. Krishna is saying here that the person who has decided to execute dhyanam or meditation process, Rahasisthitaha, Krishna says that as much as possible he should stay aloof from others, where no one else will notice him. But what is the reason for that? The reason is this. If you sit in front of so many other people who are observing you, because they will be observing you, that will have a moment of your mind, inside your mind. In other words, you will start thinking that that you will get affected by others' presence around, by that meditation. So at that point, you will start thinking that you have to act like a proper yogi. Or in other words, external attention will take control of the mind. External activities will take control of the mind. That is why Krishna says there that Atmanam Rahasisthitaha, Rahasyam. In other words, it should be done in a very secluded place. And so some people, you can see, they want to do everything in front of others, isn't it? So whether they are chanting the holy name, whether they are in meditation, in all times, they will execute that in front of others. So Krishna's point is, Yogi Yunjida Satadam Atmanam Rahasisthita. It should be done in a quiet place, aloof from everyone else. So, because the chances are that, as you know, that there are four kinds of people who do not sleep at night. Who do not sleep at night. One is a yogi. He doesn't sleep at night because he is absorbed in meditation. And then there is a bogi who wants to enjoy his senses throughout night. So he also cannot sleep at night. A yogi cannot sleep at night, nor a bogi can sleep at night time. Then there is a rogi who is sick. He also cannot sleep at night. The rogi also, the person who is sick, he also doesn't get sleep at night. And the last one is the drohi who wants to give trouble to everybody else. He also cannot sleep at night. So these four categories is there, yogi, bhogi, rogi and drohi, who gives trouble to others. So, therefore, if you look into Lalita Sahasranamam, it will say there is one of the Sahasranamam's prayers to Lalita Devi. He says, Rahastarpane Darpidaye Nama. That rahasyam, confidentiality, is what she likes. That everything is executed, spiritual life executed in confidence. Not in the be a show to others, but executed within oneself, one in confidentially. It is mentioned Rahastarpana Tarpidaye Nama. Or in other words, all spiritual activities executed confidentially will have its higher impact on people. How yoga kramaradya rahastarpana tarpidaye nama. Lalita Sahasranamam says there. Rahasya means what? Rahasya means as much as possible to stay away from others' attention. And Krishna says that in that situation it is easier to focus on the soul. When one withdraws himself from the external world and wants to go into the internal aspects of the spiritual life, naturally his attention should not fall onto the external activities. So Krishna says here, ekaki. The word used is ekaki. Ekaki means that alone. If you do it together, then what will happen? If you are doing in the group of so many others, all your attention will be on others. You will think in your mind, I should not get up before he gets up, because I am in competition with him. All these kind of thoughts will develop inside. This is the vasanas inside. No one is free from these vasanas. It's all in everyone's mind. Or if somebody else is chanting 16 rounds, I should chant 32 rounds to show I'm doing better. This kind of mind is always there in everyone. That is why Krishna says, Ekagi yada chittalma, one who is alone, where he doesn't have to compete with anyone. So, and in that way, Krishna says that spiritual life is practiced better in that situation. If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, between the discussions between the Avadhuta Brahmana and Dattatreya and Yadu Maharaj, King Yadu, there is a verse there where he talks about what he learned from his observation in this world. As you remember, the Tatraya Maharshi traveled alone, always traveled alone. And he was experiencing great bliss and happiness from his spiritual realizations. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there. He says there, Vase Bahunam Kalaha Bhaved Varta Dvayorabi Egam Eva Chare Tasmal Kumari Iva Kankana. In the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see this. Vase Bahunam Kalaha. If you do it, your spiritual activities with many other people together, there will be quarrel among the people. Vase bahunam kalaha. Kalaham will happen. Quarrel will happen when you are in the association of so many people. In the name, sometimes we get involved in this. It's an association of devotees, we say. So we get association. Association all turns into big fight and quarrel at the end. So, vaso bahunam, vase bahunam kalaha. Then what else he says? Bhaved varta dvayorabhi. As soon as you have two people together, immediately gossip will start. Immediately there will be gossip. He said this, he said that, and I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. All sorts of things will come out from that. That is why the Tatraya Maharshi says to King Yadu, I learned this important lesson, he says. Vase bahunam kalaha bhaved varta dvayorabhi. What is that lesson? Egam eva charel bhikshu. I should carry on my own. Alone, not with anybody else, on your own. Ega eva charel bhikshu kumarya iva kangana. If you remember, this he learned from that girl. A girl who was out of the 24 spiritual masters. One is a young girl who was to be married. And this young girl, she was alone at her house once. When her parents were away, they have gone on some business somewhere else. At the same time, some visitors came to the house to inquire and to discuss about the marriage. At that time, she understood that they have come for this purpose. At that time, she had a lot of bangles on her head. And she realized that when she had to prepare the rice to cook for all of them. So the rice wasn't ready, so she had to grind the paddy to get the rice out of it. So she thought, if I start doing it openly, they will think that we are very poor people, and therefore they may withdraw from the for marriage discussions. So knowing this very well, this girl, she went inside and started pounding the She started, knowing this very well, she started pounding the grain. And at that time, she realized that the bangles were making a lot of noise and this may not look good. So she removed all the bangles and left two bangles on each of the arm. Each hand she had put two bangles. Again, when she continued, she realized that they were making noise, which again was not good. So she removed and left only one bangle on each of the hands. That's what he says here. The Tatraya Maharshi was sitting outside and he was observing this, all these things, what was going on in that house. And seeing her activity, the Tatraya Maharshi thought, what do I have to learn from her? This is why a spiritually intelligent person thinks, what do I have to learn from this in this world? So the Tatraya Maharshi's observation was like this. Vase bahunam kalaha bhaved varta dvayorabhi egameva charel bhikshu kumarya iva kangana. He says there to Yadu Maharaj. He says to King Yadu, my dear king, I learned this lesson that I should never in my life, if I want to make spiritual progress, I should not get involved with others. This is an important lesson. There, the Tatraya Maharshi says this to King Yadu. Why? Because, Vase Bahunam Kalaha, if I start practicing my spiritual with the lords of people together, thinking that we will execute our spiritual life as a group, then it will always have this problem. Kalaham will come. Quarrel will come. Vase Bahunam Kalaha. If you avoid all the crowd, and if you just think that I will only have one friend and we will together do it, bhaved varta dvayorabhi, what will happen is, all most of the time you will engage in gossiping each other. and there won't be any Krishna consciousness at that point. It will be only mostly matter discussed related to this world. Therefore, he says, Egameva Charel Bhikshu, one who wants to progress in spiritual path, he has to carry on his business alone, not affected by anything else in this world. Kumarya Ivakangana, just like that girl who had two bangles, she removed one from that and each hand was left with one. When she had only one bangle, she realized it was not causing any more noise and therefore it did not affect her. The guests were not disturbed over that. So this is why this is why it is said that in the 11th canto you will see this particular verse between Dattatreya Maharshi and King Yadu's discussions. Krishna gives this example when he is talking to Uddhava. Uddhava, this is the 24 spiritual masters, and these 24 spiritual masters, King Yadu has learned from the Dattatreya Maharshi, and one of them is this Kumari, this young girl who was the example given there. So in the same way, you can see here also, Krishna is saying to us, just like Dattatreya Maharshi told Yadu Maharaj, Egam, everything should be done alone. Here, Krishna says, Egagi, alone. Not in a group, alone. Egagi yada chittalma, nirashir aparigraha. Aparigraha means that possession, free from possessions. So these things are required in spiritual life, and Krishna says there that so many things people will think. What happens is normally, when you are practicing spiritual life in the association of others, the tendency is always there that we want to discuss our realizations with others. So that realization will develop into various forms. Somebody will say, I have seen Krishna in my dreams last night. So another person will come and say, I have been dreaming so many nights, Krishna only, nothing else. So like this will start. And people will think that, oh, they are all dreaming about Krishna, so let me start something on my own now. I am dreaming Narasimha Murthy every night. Somebody will say like this. Like this will happen. All this is not a good thing, to discuss these things publicly. This is not for public discussion. If you have seen Krishna, well and good, but that's nice if you are seeing Krishna. But you have to keep it yourself. It doesn't have to be discussed with the whole world. That's not our business. That's not spiritual life. So that is why Krishna is saying here, Egagi yada chitalma. Spiritual life is internal, is developing internal. We don't have to make the whole world aware of our dreams and our realizations. It's not necessary. That's not necessary. If we do have some realizations, it is better to keep to ourselves. At some point in time, we will know whether they were proper realizations or not. So, anyway, Krishna says here that that if you try to do things together, it will not work out very well in spiritual life. That is why the internalization of what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam requires individual reflection and individual time to be devoted. But if it make it a process for the society and to do it together, it develops into in a different way. So, egameva charartasma, egagi, Krishna says here. So, what else he says? Nirashi. Nirashi means one who is free from desires. These are all requirements for the dhyanam process, meditation process. Nirashi. Aparigraha. That means one who does not accumulate things unnecessarily in this world. So, because if we do that, if we keep on increasing all our necessities and increases our commitments in this world, then mind will start going in that direction. First you want to build so many ashrams and then so many temples and everything will come. And in that process, what eventually will happen, that the mind will go in that direction. And then to do all that things, you will require a lot of money also. So you'll have to keep an eye on the bank deposit also, whether the money is coming in or not. All these issues will come up and it will distract the mind. That's why Krishna says here that you can give all justification to do various things in this world, but whatever you may do, that this law you cannot change. What is that law? Egagi. ഏകാഗി. ദാറ്റ് സിമ്പിൾ ലൂയിങ് ഇറ്റ് അലോൺ ദാറ്റ് കനോട്ട് ബി ചേഞ്ച്ഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇഫ് യു സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ഡൂയിങ് അതർ തിങ്സ് യുവർ തപസ് ഓർ യുവർ ഓസ്റ്ററിറ്റി വിൽ ബി അഫക്റ്റഡ്. സോ ദെൻ ഇറ്റ് കനോട്ട് ബി പെർഫോംഡ് any austerities or penances or meditation will become very very difficult because the whole mind will get absorbed in the external world. So therefore Krishna says aparigraha. Aparigraha has come from that thing. Nirashir aparigraha. Aparigraha is the best situation for executing meditation, for dhyanam. Dhyanam process, aparigraha is favorable. So it's the same thing mentioned there. Yogasya pradamadvara vang nirodho aparigraha. നിരാശ ച നിരീഹാച നിത്യം ഏകാന്തശീലത. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി എ ബേസിക് റിക്വയർമെന്റ് ഫോർ യോഗം, ഫോർ മെഡിറ്റേഷൻ. യോഗസ്യ പ്രഥമദ്വാര, ദ ഫേസ്റ്റ് റിക്വയർമെന്റ് ഈസ് വാങ് നിരോധോ അപരിഗ്രഹ, കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദി ടങ് ആൻഡ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം പൊസസീവ്നെസ്, ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം പൊസഷൻസ്. നിരാശ ച നിരീഹാച, നിരാശ ച മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് നോ എക്സ്പെക്ടേഷൻസ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. And nirihaja means freedom from activity. Nirashaja nirihaja nityam ekanda shilada, and always able to remain in solitude. So you can see where our problem is. We always like to have people around us, isn't it? So that gossip can go on all the time. And for that we will require all kinds of excuses also. Oh, we are associating with devotees and this, that and the other. But whatever it is, what Krishna is saying here is ekaki. Alone it is the best. That's the best way to practice spiritual life, is alone. But, so here, ekagi yada chitalma, Krishna says, ekagi yada chitalma nirashir aparigraha. So these are the things which Krishna puts as preconditions before meditation begins. So, so the mind, when it is go outwardly to the world, it is desire, isn't it? It is a desire of the mind. Nirashi means the mind has stopped going to the world outside. It is going inward looking. So that is what Krishna says here, nirashi. So going outside and thinking about various objects in this world, that is the nature of the mind. So, and nirashi abarigraha. Abarigraha means when these things, nirashir abarigraha, if these things are not there, then the plane won't take off. Remember I mentioned this before, just like a plane, when it goes on the runway, beginning with a very slow speed, and it goes very fast, and at the end of the, before it gets to the end of the runway, it takes off from there, isn't it? So, before it takes off, it has to go through this, on the runway, it keeps running for a while. So Krishna is saying here, before you take off, these things, nirashir and abarigraham, must be there in a person. Otherwise, it won't enter into meditation. The mind won't go into meditation. If the mind is full of expectations, and if the mind is full of possessiveness, that means I've got this to manage, that to manage, all thoughts centered around the world, in that situation, meditation won't happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. Nirashir aparigraha. Egagi yada chitalma. Nirashir aparigraha. So you can see, these are conditions prior to meditation, prior to dhyanam. So from these words onwards, Krishna is giving us the minimum requirement. That is nirashir. All expectations must go from inside. No more desires. That means if there is no desires, the mind won't go out. Mind will stay quietly inside. And if there is no possessiveness, that I have this, I have to have that, and I own all these things, I have to make sure that everything is safe. With all this responsibility on the head, Krishna is saying meditation won't happen. Meditation won't happen. So it is only those people who are finding it difficult to get absorbed internally. They have to go out and do various things to engage their mind in various activities. And then they have to justify that also in some way or the other. So that's what Krishna is saying here. So sitting alone, Krishna says, even while dhyana prakriya, the process of dhyanam is like that. So this thought, that while experiencing that dhyanam or meditation process, or even while chanting the holy name, the attention should go towards the soul. Attention should go towards the soul. So eventually it should get to that point of the attention on the soul. This is why dhyanam, what you study from the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there that we discussed this last Sunday also, that Kapila Maharshi's dhyana yogam, if you discuss in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Maharshi talks about the process of dhyanam. The form, he talks to Devahuti Devi, beginning with Sanjindayet Bhagavadas Charanaravindam, from Krishna's lotus feet, right up to the Hasamhare Avanidagile Logadivra Shoga Ashru Sagara Vishoshana Matyudaram. That means right up to the Krishna's smile, he discusses the form of Krishna, limb by limb, from lotus feet up to the head, top of the head. And eventually he finishes Hasamhare Avanidhagile Logativram Shogashru Sagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram. That beautiful smile of Krishna, he talks about that as well. And then after that he says that at that point, that when that form is completely fixed inside, at some point in time that form will also disappear from inside, and it is then that the soul comes in. Then the soul comes in. So that form will disappear in a natural way. The form with your effort which you have fixed inside, that you have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Only then you will find this. That if you go through that process properly, you will see there that Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi, beginning from the lotus feet of Krishna, right up to the smile, limb by limb, he talks about that, how one should fix his mind on that form. And eventually, part by part, and eventually the whole form is manifested inside. After the form has manifested inside, after a while the form will disappear, he says. It is at that time, he says there, muktashayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam tirvana nirvana mrchati mana sahasa yatharchi Atmanamatra Purusho Avyavadhana Megam Anvikshade Pratinivarta Guna Pravaha. Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi at that point that Muktashrayam Yarhi Nirvishayam Viraktam, that at that at a particular point in that meditation process, what will happen is Muktashrayam Nirvishayam Viraktam, that he will come to this state that when that disappears, what the form disappears from inside, that all other sankalpam which was coming through the mind and the form also goes away from inside. No sankalpam comes anymore. No more chitavrti happens at that point. And at that point, at that stage, the soul will manifest without any obstruction. That's what he says here. Almanat muktashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvana mrchadi manasahasa yatharchi. Mind also doesn't have any more role to play at that time. Mind also does not do anything at that time. Mind has become so still. Stillness in the mind. Muktashrayam nirvana mrchadi manasahasa yatharchi. Mind is also in that state. And then what else happen? Atmanamatra purushav avyavadhanam ekam. Only realization at that point is that I am spirit soul. That realization of the self becomes very strong. And after this dhyanam process, this is what happens. Atmanamatra purusho avyavadhanam ekam. Why? Anvikshadetra pratinivrta guna pravaham. By now what has happened is sattvam, rajas, tamas, the three modes of material nature has withdrawn from inside, from the person, from the mind, intelligence, senses, from all the places, the three modes of nature has gone away. That is the proof of that. That's the proof. If one reaches this state, one can take it that he has been released from the modes of material nature. So that verse is important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why to tell us that how that process works in everyone's dhyanam process. Dhyana Prakriya in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in two places it is discussed. In the third canto, Kapila Vasudev instructs Devahuti Devi, and in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna instructs Uddhava. In both these places you will see that after the dhyanam, meditation comes to a perfection, What will happen is Muktashrayam Yarhi Nirvishayam Viraktam. That Muktashrayam, that has come to the stage now that soul has taken control. No more mind there. Mind is not present there anymore. The soul has taken complete control. Muktashrayam Nirvishayam Viraktam. Then Nirvanam Rachadi Manasahasa Yadharchi. That mind is no influential anymore. Mind has come to a complete standstill. It doesn't go out. It doesn't create any more sangalpam or thought waves. Chitavritti does not happen anymore. And Atmanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanam Ekam. Only what exists at that point is the soul, realized self. The realized soul is existing at that point. Atmanamatra Purusho Avyavadhanam Ekam. Anvikshadetra Pratinivarta Guna Pravaha. One can observe at that time himself that he has been released from the modes of nature. Anuchade Pratinivurta Gunapravaha. Gunapravaha means the flow of these three modes of nature in a person. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. We know that we are never free from the grip of these three modes of nature. Isn't it? We may think in ourselves that we are free from the modes of nature, but our mind will tell you that what kinds of modes of nature we are under. We are under. And while going through the tamogunam will bring sleep into a person. Rajogunam will bring activities in a person. Satugunam will bring happiness to a person. So all these three modes of nature is in us, in mixed form or in predominated by one mode or the other. So that's why Kapila Vasudeva says here that Nirvishayam Viraktam Anvikshade Pratinivurta Gunapravaha. He will see himself that Gunapravaham, the flow of the three modes of material nature, has stopped. So it is at that time we can see here that when the three modes of nature has left him, he can see the soul. See means he can experience the soul without any problem. He will experience it himself. What is spiritual identity means? What is spirit soul means? That experience will come to him. So, it is continuous reflection on the soul will bring this point. Whatever thoughts may come at that point, immediately your attention will go and start thinking, who has these thoughts? Who is experiencing these thoughts? So, once you think like that, and where is this originating from, then and there is no thoughts of anything else except the soul. Satatam yunjida. So, chittavritti nirodha. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram says chittavritti nirodha. So, when this develops into what is known as the samskar of yoga. Samskar of yoga. So, if one practices this on a regular basis, that yoga samskaram will develop in a person. You may ask the question, is it possible to do all these things? It is possible. Is it possible? We want something simpler than all these things, isn't it? Very simple process. We like to have it. But the thing is that if it was not possible, Krishna would not have spoken about it in the Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, it is not something just like a tablet, it can be put onto the mouth, like a chocolate or something that you can put it in and swallow it straight away, like that. So it is our responsibility, Krishna is saying, how to develop this samskar within us. Even as we talk about chanting the holy name, is that an easy thing to chant the holy name? We say, oh, it's such a simple process. Anybody can do it, anywhere you can do it. Yes, anywhere anybody can do it. But only thing is, it won't be proper japam, proper chanting. So that's why in these verses, Krishna talked about this, that Atmanam Rahasi, that Krishna says that japam, dhyanam, both this chanting the holy name and also the dhyanam meditations, that has to go together. While meditation, also japam. And while chanting the japam, meditation, this has to become. So when one is absorbed in a lot of material activities, it is impossible to do it properly. Isn't it? Impossible to do it properly. So after executing all our material obligations, it becomes difficult to perform this. Therefore, Krishna says, ekaki, nirashi, without any desires, because if ever there is any desires, mind will go in that direction. So, and that is the two verses Krishna talked about, we saw earlier. Shijau deshe pradishthaphyam. Isn't it? Krishna says there, Shijau deshe pradishthaphyam. In the next two verses, Krishna talked about that Shijau deshe pratishthapyam stiram asanam atmana natu chidam nati nijam chailanjana kushotaram tatraigagram manakritva yada jitendriya kriya ubhavishyasane yunjad yogam atma vishuddhaye. Krishna says yogam atma vishuddhaye. Atma vishuddhi will happen to him at that point. Then we were discussing after that something important, much more important. What is that? In dhyana yogam, what will happen is all the dhyanam process, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see the great personalities, particularly Sri Narada Maharshi, Kapila Vasudeva and others, whenever they discussed about when they gave instructions to the devotees to enter into dhyanam, the form was spoken by them. For example, Narada Maharshi spoke to Dhruva Maharaj, what form he should meditate upon. And he described the form to Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Maharshi described the form of Krishna to Dhruva Maharaj, how he should meditate on the particular form of Krishna. Isn't it? How the particular form what Dhruva Maharaj should meditate was also given by Sri Narada Maharshi. If you remember Bhagavatam, you will see there that few verses talks about the form of Krishna, how Dhruva Maharaj should meditate upon. If you look into Bhagavatam again, you will see Kapila Vasudeva instructing Devahudi Devi of Krishna's form, which is slightly different than the form Narada Maharshi has spoken to Dhruva Maharaj. So, according to their realizations and their understanding, they will give the instructions. It is that whichever form they instruct, Krishna will appear in that form to them. To the whatever form that has been given to them by their by the sages, whether it is Narada Maharshi or Kapila Vasudeva or Angiras, or Angiras gave to Lord Balaram's form to Chitraketu, if you remember in the sixth canto, and he got appearance of Balaram's form in him. So like this, the form that has been described by the sages, it is that form that is meditated upon by the devotee, by Dhruva Maharaj. And when that form appeared inside, subsequently you see there in the Bhagavadam, there it says there, Bahisthidam Dadarsha, that which was inside suddenly disappeared and manifested outside. Bahisthidam Dadarsha. The same form what Dhruva Maharaj has been meditating upon, at some point it left him. And completely Dhruva Maharaj felt where the form has gone inside. And he opened his eyes, he saw that form standing outside. In Vedavyasa Maharshi's meditation also you will see the same thing. In the first canto, in the Pranaskandam, you will see this again, the same thing appear in front of Vedavyasa Maharshi also. So, so this stage comes at a stage when the devotee's power of meditation has come to very higher level. So, Bahisthidam Dadarsha, Bhagavatam says like that about meditation of Dhruva Maharaj. So later on we were discussing these things also, this famous story of the saints from Maharashtra. All of them were devotees of Pandharpur Vithal. So those among those devotees, we talked about this, Namadev. Namadev was a famous devotee. So Namadev, before he met his spiritual master, he already had a relationship with Krishna. And it was on a friendly terms. On a friendly terms, he had that relationship with Krishna. Krishna used to visit Namadev every day. And Namadev used to go and see Krishna at the temple also. They used to talk to each other. and spend days like this, months and months he spent like this with Krishna. So Namadev understood that, thought that he has reached the perfection of his Krishna consciousness. When Krishna is coming and playing with you, where is the question of anything else needed? So it is in that state, one day Krishna realized. So Namadev realized that being with Krishna like this, there is nothing more to achieve in life. This was Namadev's realization. Namadev hasn't gone very far in spiritual life, but Krishna has, out of his seeing that devotee, Namadev, and his purity inside, Krishna decided to go in front of him and to associate with the devotee. So Krishna, out of causeless mercy, decided to associate with Namadev. In this story, there's a lot of things to understand. That it was the same time, all these great personalities, Yaneshwar, Tukaram, Ekanath, and so many other great personalities appeared at the same time. There was a wonderful flow of great devotees. A powerful force of devotees existed at the same time. Among them, Yaneshwar was the head of the whole group. It is from Yaneshwar everything has begun. Others have come much later. But Yaneshwar's time, Yaneshwar used to speak from Bhagavad Gita and his famous commentary, Yaneshwari. He used to discuss every day, Yaneshwari, with other devotees who used to come and listen to him. So Krishna felt one day the need to send Namadev to Yaneshwar. Let him go and listen to what Yaneshwar had to say. By listening that, probably it will help Namadev to move to the next step in spiritual life. Namadev goes there and he was attending the program in the assembly of so many other devotees. And as I discussed, we talked about it last Sunday, Namadev did not find it very interesting. Namadev thought, what's all this discussion about? What is there so much to discuss about? Namadev's point was, I'm already seeing Krishna. What else do I have to know now more than this? I've already reached that state. But Yaneshwar discussions was on a very higher level. Vedanta philosophy was discussing there. And at another point, Yaneshwar's elder brother Nivrtinath, he was sitting there completely absorbed in the Shravanam, in hearing process. His younger brother Sopan, he was sitting there and listening to it. And Muktabhai, the younger sister, also sitting there and listening without any emotions inside. So Namadev thought that what kind of Krishna consciousness is this? They're all discussing about one book and they're finding it so interesting, whereas Krishna is always with me. And nobody asked Namadev any time, oh, you had that Krishna's association, we never had it. They never mentioned one minute about it to Namadev. So Namadev thought it's very strange that they never asked me about anything. That they all knew about that Namadev had this association with Krishna. So nobody mentioned anything about it. And then Gorakumbha, the potter, clay potter, he was also a great devotee. All these saints in Maharashtra, the interesting thing about them is, they were such devotees, but they never went to any ashram, took sannyasam or anything like that. Purely in their life, one of them was a potter, one of them was a goldsmith, one of them was a tailor, one of them was a weaver who weaved the clothes. And like this, they all had different occupations. While engaged in these occupations, they developed their spiritual life to the perfection. That is their success. And this is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma does not mean that you throw away everything, you join institution, you have to become a sannyasi, only then there is any hope. That is not these great saints are teaching us this one point, that whatever situation one is in, developing Krishna consciousness in that situation is possible. That is the beauty of Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is for anyone, anywhere, any country, anywhere, in whatever situation, it is possible to develop Krishna consciousness or to practice Bhagavata Dharma. That is what it is showing to us. None of them were any officially in any kind of mutt or ashram. They all practiced spiritual life on their own way, in their own style. Their own style. They were all different. All of them were different. All of them used to assemble with Jnaneshwar. Jnaneshwar used to speak from Bhagavad Gita and they used to hear. They used to hear very carefully. Jnaneshwar was the big personality from whom everything has begun. So Namdev goes there and Namdev sat down and listened to everything. And one day Jnaneshwar wanted to tell Gaurakumbhar. Gaurakumbhar is the clay potter. That the stick with which you test the pots, whether they have been properly fried or not, go and use that stick and touch everyone's head and see whether the pot is properly fried or not. In other words, how far they have reached in this process of bhakti. This is what was being tested. So Gaurakumbhar goes with the stick banging on everyone's head. Every time when he banged on someone devotee's head, either he will say Hari Sharanam or Shri Krishna Sharanam or Narayana Sharanam, whatever they have said, no, everybody accepted without any objection. But when he came to Namdev, Namdev thought, these people, they have been discussing, they are doing testing and all that, whereas I am already with Krishna, what do I need to know more? This was Namdev. Namdev hesitated. Namdev did not want to be tested in that way. So Gaurakumbhar goes back to Jnaneshwar and says to him, almost all the pots are fried. There is one pot still not fried yet properly. And that was our Namdev, who was with Krishna playing all the time. So Namdev felt very insulted from this statement from Gaurakumbhar. Namdev goes back. As soon as he got back, went to the temple straight away and told told Krishna that you send me there for what? To get insulted like this? Krishna says, what has happened? Namdev says, what has happened? You want me to tell you? You are coming to see me every day. I am coming to see you here. The child was so innocent. Namdev was so innocent. He says to him, I come to see you and you come to see me. We play together. Now what more do I need? More than this. And I went there and they are taking the stick and beating on everyone's head and testing it. One brother is sitting there and talking all Vedanta philosophy from Bhagavad Gita. And somebody else is sitting there like a stone listening to it. And all these things I am not interested, he says. Krishna says to him that, did they ask you anything, that whether you are playing with me or I am playing with you or you have seen me? No, that is what I am saying to you. They have not understood anything. Is Namdev says to Krishna. Krishna says to Namdev. Namdev, try to understand one thing. Now, to see you, I have to come and see you here at your house. And if you want to see me, you come to the temple to see me. But there are people who are always seeing Krishna all the time. They don't have to go anywhere. They have reached that state already. And they are not concerned that if anywhere somebody requires help in Krishna consciousness, they are always ready to help. This is a higher state, Krishna explains to him. And that understanding has to come from through a spiritual master. That understanding has to come through a spiritual master. And it is on Krishna's request that Namdev was deputed to go to this temple, where this great devotee who the temple was empty, there was nothing, temple was in a very dilapidated state. And when he went there to see where Krishna asked him to go and meet this Vithoba Kechari, that was the yogi's name, to go to that yogi and learn from him about bhakti. Learn from him what is bhakti, what is realization means. So when he got there, our Namdev, when he got there, Vithoba Kechari was lying very fully relaxed. Immediately the first thought came to Namdev's mind was, is this the person who is going to instruct me in spiritual life? This thought occurred in Namdev's mind. Anyway, seeing that Krishna has told him to go and see him, Namdev went and paid his respects to him. But at that time he noticed that pastime with the Shivalingam, that one of his legs were left on a Shivalingam, and Namdev felt it was very offensive. So Namdev mentioned that to Vithoba Kechari. Vithoba Kechari says to him, oh, I didn't realize there was a Shivalingam. Moved his leg to another place where another Shivalingam automatically appeared at that time. So Vithoba Kechari speaks to Namdev about this, and it is from Vithoba Kechari's mercy Namdev realized some higher understanding of spiritual life. It came to him. So in all these songs, what Namdev wrote, they are generally classified into two groups. One group of songs, which is in Maharashtra, they call it as Abhangs. Those ones which were written prior to meeting a spiritual master and in his relationship with Krishna, what he has realized it, that is in the first part. After meeting Vithoba Kheshari and with his mercy, what he has realized, that he started seeing that this whole creation is nothing but Krishna's presence in every living entity. That realization has happened to him after his meeting with the spiritual master. So this is why it is said, Krishna is also saying there, that spiritual process does not end with seeing Krishna. People have this misunderstanding, isn't it? Once I have seen Krishna, I have reached the final stage. No, unless the realization happens inside, what is Krishna? That is Tattvam. When we understand what is Krishna, that is Tattvam. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see there two things. One is the Tattvam behind it and the other one is the Rasa behind it. Rasa behind it. If you look in the 10th canto, you will see that Parishit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, isn't it? Parishit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, talk to me about Krishna Tattvam. What is Krishna in Tattvam? Let me understand, he says. I want to understand Krishna Tattvam. So, understanding the Tattvam and realizing that Tattvam will only happen through a spiritual master. But due to pure devotion in the heart, Namadev got the association with Krishna. Not only that, due to that association with Krishna, Krishna guided him to the right source. So this is why we say, by bhakti one gets Krishna. By Krishna's mercy one gets the spiritual master, and by spiritual master's mercy one gets Krishna. You have heard this statement many times. This is what that means. That when one becomes progressed, when progressive in spiritual life, when one chants the holy name and develop that intense attachment for Krishna, by Krishna's mercy alone, it will happen. Krishna comes and directs you in the right direction. Atmano guru atmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshan anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade ekadasha skandam. Krishna says this. Then initially a devotee approaches praise to Krishna and develops a relationship with Krishna. When that relationship gets strong and he has realized that connection with Krishna, at some point in time, Krishna guides from inside to whom to go to. To whom to go to. And it is then that, due to the association of the spiritual master, who is well qualified to take him to the next stage, where this final realization, what is Krishna Tattvam, he will understand at that point. At that point it will happen to him. So this is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says like this, that all these great personalities, when they went to, particularly this Namadev story, is to indicate to us, when Krishna says there, that the relationship with Krishna and the devotee, how it develops in due course. Spiritual master gives Krishna, and Krishna gives the spiritual master. So, Krishna also reminded Namdev at that point. When Namdev complained about them, Krishna says to them, did any one of them envy about you, about your association with me? Then, and one, not even once they inquired about this with you. And never asked you, how will I get this? Because they have finished all these stages. Gaurakumbhar, although he was a potter, he made clay and clay pots from that. They were all great devotees. They had the occupational duty was something performed for bodily maintenance, but that was not their main purpose in life. The life was completely on a spiritual plane. Whether it was Jnanishwar or Nivrtinath or Eknath Swami or even Tukaram, they all of them were nobody could do anything properly in this world. That is another interesting thing. When Tukaram trying to run his business, it was a flop. How will the business develop when the whole time is absorbed in Krishna? So, but that did not matter to them. That did not matter. There are so many interesting stories about Tukaram and Namadev, and also about Eknath Swami. Eknath Swami, spiritual master, Janardana Swami. All of them. So these great powerful devotees have shown us this is Bhagavata Dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about this. That although Varnashrama Dharma is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, knowing very well that in this age of Kali, people would find it difficult to follow that process of Varnashrama. But Bhagavata Dharma is open to everybody, no matter who it is. For everyone it is open. So that's what that is talking about. So, Krishna says here that you will notice that when Namadev realized this, Namadev did not have this realization. What is that realization? Sarva bhudeshu yappashel bhagavad bhava malpana bhudani bhagavat yesha savai bhagavadottama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while defining about first class devotee, how is that definition? Sarva bhudeshu yappashet bhagavad bhava malpana. It didn't say that one who is playing with Krishna is the topmost devotee, did they? They only said, sarva bhudeshu yappashet bhagavad bhava malpana. One who is seeing Krishna's presence in all living entities. Sarva bhudeshu yappashet bhagavad bhavam. That means he has developed that in all living entities Krishna is present. And Bhagavad Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha. Similarly, all living entities are present in Krishna. In other words, what does that mean? Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha. In other words, all living entities, the soul is part of that supreme. Part of that supreme soul. That's only the understanding from that. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashil Bhagavad Bhava Malmana. Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha. Such a person who has come to that realization, Savai Bhagavadottama, he is the best among the devotees. So, you can see in our Namdev's case, although he had pure devotion to Krishna, and that devotion has led to this understanding, Krishna felt the need to take Namdev to a higher realization of this pure devotee state, where Namdev perceives Krishna's presence in all living entities. For that, Krishna sent him to Vithoba Khechari, his spiritual master, and it is through him that Namdev reached that state of consciousness. So that is why when Namdev wrote his songs later, what you find is the realization before he met his spiritual master and the realization after he met his spiritual master. The songs what he wrote afterwards, he says that his statements are completely different than his experience before, while playing with Krishna and before he met his spiritual master. So spiritual master's role, you can see, is an important role there. That Krishna's arrangement is like that. Namdev says there that even Jagrat Satnam Sushupti, that in all these states, what I am seeing is Panduranga. He says, in Jagrat Satnam Sushupti, all these states, that what I experience is Panduranga. So you will see in the thousand names of Vishnu also, Sahasranamam, if you see there, Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro. Vishwam, first name, first definition of Krishna, Vishnu, is like this Vishwam. This whole creation is Vishnu. Vishwam is Vishnu. Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro, Bhuda Bhavyabhavad Prabhu. Thousand names of Vishnu begins like that. Vishwasmai Namaha. So the first name given to Vishnu, who is all pervading everywhere, this whole creation is Vishnu. Whole creation is Vishnu. And that is what it is mentioned here. That due to whatever form one has meditated upon, eventually due to the power of that meditation, that same form will manifest him in front of him as a spiritual master and instruct him on spiritual life. All these things have to happen in spiritual life. Otherwise, simply doing things without any understanding how the process works is no good, because then always there is doubts inside. How does that happen? When is Krishna going to come? And when is Krishna going to come and see me? All these questions will come. And after 20, 30, 40 years, we'll start thinking that all this life I have done so many things, but sadhana hasn't worked. What has gone wrong? All these thoughts will develop. That is why in Bhagavatam, it's a perfect science of self-realization. Krishna is saying there that the form what you have meditated upon, eventually that form alone will take into the form of the spiritual master.
and advise the devotee to go to the spiritual master. And in other words, devotion will develop into take the person to the knowledge, and that knowledge will eventually take into parabhakti, the superior state of bhakti. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shojati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. That after that fully self-realized, and when this realization has come that all that exists is Krishna in every living entity, mad bhaktim labhate param, then is the proper parabhakti begins at that point. So, adhyatma sadhana or spiritual practices, Krishna says here that the first stage in that is satsangam. Satsangam is the stage where it begins. Then from there, and Krishna says here that ekandam sukhamasinam paradare yatam. So, so that dhyanam process, what Krishna is saying here, that that's what we were discussing. And so this is why Krishna says here this, the dhyanam process has to be practiced in the morning. Now dhyanam means chanting the holy name also is a part of that dhyanam process, isn't it? So you can see one who practices this process, one who practices meditation or chanting the holy name, he will have his life in a rhythm, in a particular rhythm. It will work in a particular way. Otherwise, one who has no control on the mind, no control on the senses, eating, sleeping, without any uncontrolled way, for him, life will be, Krishna says, dhyanam is very difficult. And it is in that connection, Krishna says, to get that dhyanam or to get that meditation inside, the two verses he spoke later, verse 11 and 12, how one should perform the dhyanam, in what conditions one should perform the dhyanam. Then, how to engage in the analysis of the soul, in the alpavicharam, it says here. So, so when the important thing while reading this third canto and this sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is this, to understand that meditation is a process. It is not the end. It's only a process. So in that process, eventually one reaches this state, as Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, that at some point in time, that form, what has been meditated upon, will disappear, and then it comes the realization of the self, realization of the self. That inquiry will begin at that stage. So, now, after this, all the external things Krishna has spoken now, what has to be done in the externally, that is what he spoke about in the two verses, Shujau Deshe Pratishtapyam, onwards up to Yogam Atma Vishuddhaye. So Krishna is talking to us that that in order to get the mind fixed on Krishna and not allowing the mind to waver, Krishna says all these things can help. So alone, in a lonely place, in a pure place, how to execute that dhyanam, that is what is in the next verse.
Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan ajalam stiram samprekshya nasikagram swam dishaschan avalokayan samam kaya shiro grivam dharayanna jalam stiram samprekshya nasikagram swam dishaschan avalokayan prashandatma vigadabhi brahmachari vrate sthitam
മനം സംയമ്യമച്ചിത്തോ യുക്തമാസീദമൽപരാം പ്രശാന്താത്മാവിഗതഭീ ബ്രഹ്മചാരീ വ്രതേ സ്ഥിതാം മനസ്സംയമ്യമച്ചിത്തോ യുക്തമാസീദമൽപരാം സമം കായ ശിരോഗ്രീവം ധാരയൻ അചലം സ്ഥിര സംപ്രേക്ഷ്യ നാസികാഗ്രം സ്വം ദിശശ്ചാനവലോകയൻ പ്രശാന്താത്മാ വിഗതഭീ ബ്രഹ്മചാരി വ്രതേ സ്ഥിതാഹ മനസ്സംയമ്യമച്ചിത്ത യുക്തമാസീദമൽപര. Translation: One should hold one's body, neck and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Right. So, Krishna is explaining that process of dhyanam. Explaining the process of dhyanam. He says here, samam kaya shiro griva. Kaya means the body. And samam. And in a straight position. Without any movement. Samam kaya shiro griva. Dharayan achalam sthiram. Similarly, the neck, the head. Everything in one straight line. The head, the neck, the body, everything in one straight line, one has to sit. Here we are, even finding it difficult in a seat in a sofa set. And to those people, we are telling them to sit in this way, to sit in a particular way. We'll understand that when you go through this verse a little bit more, why Krishna is saying this. Just because sitting like that doesn't mean dhyanam has happened. That's another thing. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan ajalam sthira. So, ajalam. Ajalam means one cannot move. One has to be very steady. So, actually, when dhyanam happens to a person, these things will come to him. It is not that he practices this first and then gets into dhyanam. Dhyanam is an internal thing. These things are external things as far as the body is concerned. But Krishna's point is, that dhyanam will get firm when one is situated in these conditions. For example, Krishna mentioned before about this meditation we talked about. You cannot go for dhyanam. Dhyanam has to capture us. Dhyanam has to capture us. So, when one has come to that particular dhyanam state or meditation state, automatically the body will become straightened. Body will become straightened. Because what will happen is, that the concentration gets stronger when one is straightened up. But when one advances in the path of dhyanam or meditation process, naturally the movements of the body will come under control in a natural way, without any special endeavor for that. Now here there is a statement, dharayan ajalam sthira samam kaya shiro grivam. Then, samprakṣa nasigāgram swam. This is very a confusing statement for many people. Samprakṣa nasigāgram swam. People who practice dhyanam, what they do, they see the photographs and some of them, sometimes the advertisements from the yoga societies and all that. What do they see? Somebody sitting there in dhyanam state, all the both the eyes focused on the tip of the nose. If you do that, you'll get headache. That will be the next thing what will happen. That's not what Krishna is talking about. If you read the commentary from the Acharyas, you will see what is actually meant by this. So, in Krishna's language, Krishna says, Samprakṣa nasigāgram swam. And diśaschān avalokayan, Krishna says there. So, what Krishna says here is that, when your attention has gone inward looking, that means when the mind is not going in the world outside, if your dhyanam has become very powerful, in other words, if you have become so internal, if attention has gone inward so long, so strongly inside, if you look into that person's eyes, you will see as though he is looking at the tip of the nose. That's how it will look like. If you look into many, many great jnanis and great devotees also, whose attention has completely gone inward looking, who is completely absorbed in the soul and spiritual realization, who is very advanced on the spiritual path, for them, the mind is not going anymore outside. The mind is very much inside, absorbed in the mind is subdued to such an extent. What is known as Nirodham, isn't it? Nirodham is the word used in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam says, Atra sargo visargasa sthanam moshanam udayam anandaram ishanigada Nirodham. Nirodham of the mind has happened. Mind is not going anymore outwardly. Mind is gone inward looking. So in other words, constantly absorbed in the soul and self-realization. Such a person, when you observe him from outside, what you will notice is, it may appear to you as though he is looking at the tip of the nose. His eyes will be looking as though at the tip of the nose. In other words, he has nothing to gain from this world. There is no, his attention is not on anything in this world outside. And that is why he says here, Nasigagre, he says, Samprekshan Nasigagram Swam. That Samprakshan Asigagram Sam, it will appear as though his attention is on the tip of the nose. Whereas what do? We sit all steady straight and we start looking at the tip of the nose. But inside is all our desires, paying bills and all other things inside. So that is where the difference is. Spiritual life is an internal thing. It is very much an internal change that has to happen. Externally we can go on doing so many things. But at the inside, that change has to happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. That so when that attention goes inwards and it becomes very much focused there, automatically all senses and sensual activities all will change. The eyes will be focused somewhere where you will have no interest what's happening, because all the gates are closed. Just like before the aeroplane takes off, the gates closes, isn't it? They make the last announcement, the gates are closing. You should board the plane. So similarly, here also, before proper meditation comes, the gates have to close. You can't keep all the gates open and have the meditation. That won't happen. Then it won't go. So the same thing here. That's why it says there, Prajnanam Brahma. Isn't it? Prajnanam Brahma. Where is this statement coming from? Brahma's symptom is that prajnanam. So where do we have to inquire about that Brahmam? That aham brahmasmi. That is that inquiry. Aham brahmasmi. Isn't it? Aham aham. That inside, that thing, what is going on inside us. Consciousness of that. So when we inquire about that Brahmam, which nature is prajnanam Brahma, so immediately our attention has started directing towards the soul. At that point, all these situations when happen, while anger comes, while envy comes, in all these, if we look into inward-looking person, his attention will be on this one issue. What is that? Where is this movement happening? It is happening in the mind. When envy is coming, where is envy happening? Envy is happening in the mind. When any other emotions happens, where does that happen? It's not happening in the soul. It's happening in the mind. So, when a person gets so absorbed in this thought process, what will happen is, it will appear as though he is looking at the tip of his nose. And this is a symptom of a person whose drishti or vision has become andarmukham. Andarmukham means inward looking. All great sages, they are andarmukham. Vedavyasa Maharshi is andarmukham. That they are not behirmukham. We are behirmukham. Behirmukham means, what is the nature of behirmukham? Behirmukham means always looking outwardly. Looking for all solutions to the problem in the world outside. When we have a problem, what do? We go to others looking for, can you help me? Solutions elsewhere. But sages, all the great sages, they didn't go like that. They were able to go inward looking, what is the problem? Where is the problem coming from? Who has the problem? This inquiry was very strong inside. That is the spiritual nature of a person. That is why Vedavyasa Maharshi is andarmukham. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavadam, when he started writing Srimad Bhagavadam, prior to that, he felt great unhappiness, distress inside, isn't it? Vedavyasa Maharshi, while sitting in Shamyaprasam in Himalayas, in his ashram, he felt great unhappiness. And he thought that I have compiled all this Vedic literature. All the Puranas have written, 18 Puranas. Mahabharata was written. And in spite of all that, and not only that, divided the Vedas into four and taught to the major four disciples as well. If you remember, Gvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvavedam, they were all taught to four major disciples. And through, he has done all these things with intention that let that stay in this world for a long time to come. So he has done so much for the human society, for the benefit of the human society, he has done all this. In spite of that, internally he was feeling a kind of unhappiness. It is in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see Vedavyasa Maharshi's internal understanding, that internally how he was finding a little disturbance inside. So naturally, being Andharmukhattvam, that inward looking nature, Vedavyasa Maharshi thought about this and he came to the conclusion where things have gone wrong, where things have gone wrong. And that's where he says that, have I not described the glories of the Supreme Personality? He said, what has caused this? And still he did not go to anyone to discuss about it. And then Krishna's arrangement, Sri Narada Maharshi comes to talk to Vedavyasa about it, to confirm that Vedavyasa Maharshi's thoughts were correct. Narada Maharshi, when he saw Vedavyasa, immediately Narada Maharshi could see that something was in Vedavyasa Maharshi's mind working. And naturally, Narada Maharshi was able to understand this and what the problem was. And Vedavyasa Maharshi, without asking the question, Narada Maharshi pointed out to him that you did not describe the glories of Krishna. And that is how Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, as you know, in the beginning of the first canto. So all this is Andharmukhattvam, that inward-looking nature of the great sages. So here also it says here that when our drishti, when our vision becomes Andharmukhattvam or go inwards, it will appear as though that their attention is on the tip of the nose. Sometimes when you see great yogis photograph, when they are sitting down, as though they are looking towards the sky. Tad Vishnu paramam padam, Tad Vishnu sada pashyanti surayo. So that they are always absorbed in the thought of the soul, and which is the ultimate abode of Vishnu. Ultimate abode of Vishnu. So sada pashyanti. So here you will see, when that drishti or their vision become completely focused, Krishna says here one word, dishaschan avalokayan. There is a last line, if you look in that verse, you will see, dishaschan avalokayan, Krishna says there. So then they are not even aware of all directions in this world. Dishaschan avalokayan. So he is sitting there, he is not even conscious of north, south, east, west. None of them is, he is conscious of any of these things. So it is a possibility that when advances on the spiritual path, Krishna says here, Dishaschan avalogayan, he says, that in that state of mind, completely subdued mind, devoid of fear, Prashandatma Vigadabir Brahmachari Pradesthita Manas Samyama Machitam Yukta Masida Malpara. Krishna says Prashandatma. At that point, Vigadabhi. Prashandatma means total stillness in the mind. The mind is completely still. There is no more movement inside. So so this Shandi inside, Prashandatma, Krishna says in dhyanam, it has to happen to anyone. It has to happen to everyone. Vigatabhi, Krishna uses another word. That when Vigatabhi means all vigalpam has stopped. All, no more vigalpam inside. Vigatabhi means no vigalpam inside. No vigalpam inside. Chitavruti has completely stopped. Chitavruti has completely stopped. Vigatabhi. There you will notice Vigatabhi. Bhi means fear, isn't it? Freedom from fear. Krishna mentions this also. Freedom from devoid of fear. Why devoid of fear? That's the question, isn't it? Devoid of fear means that freedom comes from what? Freedom comes from duality. isn't it? Freedom comes from duality, dvandvam. It is called dvandvam. Dvandvam. So, if you look into Kavi Maharshi's discussions with King Nimi, he says there, Bhayam Dudiyal Abhinivesha Tasyal. As soon as there is Dvandvam, Dudiyam, when there is a second thing, you have to be fearful. You have to be fearful. Or in other words, why there is fear in this world? Because we believe that the bodily concept of life means we accept the existence of a second thing, isn't it? We all identify with our own body. So therefore, multitude of bodies exist, and from that the fear has come. That is, Bhayam Didiya Abhinivesha Rasyal Ishad Abhedasa Viparyayo Smriti. In the Bhagavadam you will find this. That when we have forgotten our spiritual identity, Ishad Abhedasa Viparyayo Smriti, our smriti or memory of soul has gone. And memory of the body has become very firm inside. As soon as that comes, bodily identity is coming to us. Immediately, the duality also comes along with that. Duality comes along with that. So Krishna is saying here, Prashandalma Vigatabhi, a yogi who is in perfect meditation, he has to have that freedom from fear. And that freedom, where does that come from? It comes from freedom from duality. Duality has to leave him at that stage. And that is where Krishna says here that he is free from the freedom. So in order that to happen, that without any effort, in the association of great sages, great personalities who have come to that state of self-realization, these things will naturally happen to ordinary people. Ordinary people, just being in their presence, this can happen. So, it is always the truth that when you are in the association of a realized soul, this dhyanam state or meditation mood will naturally develop inside. So, because in their presence, the mind naturally subdues. So, that is a symptom of a jnani. Jnani's symptoms are like that. Without any effort, it will happen. Some people will sleep when they are tired. Sometimes you will see some people will come. Now, this is also important. When people come first time in satsangam, naturally they will have, they may not have the desire to hear. But due to some kripa or mercy of Krishna, they arrive at the satsangam, or they come to happen to hear about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So initially they'll listen and nothing will go in. So it is then that they fall into the sleepy state. It used to happen like that. One person used to come and visit a Mahatma. Every evening he used to travel 10-15 kilometers to come and see this Mahatma. And as soon as he gets there, he'll fall asleep. And he'll sleep the whole night. And the Mahatma used to talk the whole night, various topics related to spiritual life. But he will fall asleep. And the next morning he will wake up and he will go back to his place to work. So this used to happen. So some people who are present there, they complain to this Mahatma that this particular person comes every night from a long distance. And he comes here, he sleeps the whole night and then he goes back in the morning. So the Mahatma told him that even it is in that sleeping state he is listening, it is still good for him. Because even then some effect will be there from that. That is why in the Shravanam process in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there are four classes of listeners. If you have heard about this before, but still we must discuss this. There are four classes of listeners. The first one is the one who comes, who sleeps. Who comes and sleeps the whole time, goes back. After that, as soon as it's over, he is away, gone. Then there is a second class, and that is also Krishna's kripa, that he has come. He has come to listen. That itself is a big thing. Because there are many people in this world who has no time, isn't it, to hear anything. They are so busy with their life that they find it is too much to spend a couple of hours hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a lot, they see.
They say, I got my duty, I got my family, I got my job, I got this, I got that. So with all that responsibility on the shoulder, he finds it very difficult to spare a couple of hours even in to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So they have not reached that state yet. That they have not even reached the state of the person who comes and sleeps. Definitely, the person who sleeps is better than one who doesn't come. Because at least he comes. And unknowingly, many things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam can enter into him. He may be in the sleeping mode, but still the message in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is powerful enough to go inside. We all think that only if we hear with our mind and intelligence, we will understand Bhagavatam. But this is not a topic for understanding. This is a topic for realization. This is a topic for realization. And that realization happens from the process of hearing. So that hearing, even if one is not hearing through his ears or through the senses, there is somebody else inside who is hearing what is being spoken. And that when that person hears, that is the beginning of spiritual life. When that person inside is hearing, that's the beginning of spiritual life. So this first category, who comes and sleeps in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, even he is in due course of time, by Krishna's mercy, he will come to a better situation later. The second category is that those who come and listen, they will hear everything, but they will understand everything in the opposite way. Everything will be in the opposite way. That is another kind of hearing. They will understand, and as soon as they go out, they will think in a completely wrong way. They have misunderstood the whole thing. And so, if you hear things like that, then that will only cause disturbances in the mind. But in due course of time, there also will, understanding will change as much as sadhana increases, and at the same time the hearing process also gets better. He will come to understand better. So that is another category. The third category is those who will hear everything. Who will hear everything. And they can keep everything on their head and they can reproduce it to somebody. Everything, they can repeat everything what they have heard. Krishna says even this third category is not up to the mark. It is the fourth category which Krishna considers as proper hearing. So this hearing process is something different. The hearing is such, it goes inside and goes right down into the heart. Inside, that is proper hearing. So it is the fourth category where Krishna says one who hears, it goes in and it goes straight into the heart. And without any question, it starts working inside. Inside, the process begins. So this is the type of fourth category, Shravanam, is the process what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because many people will tell you that you have to hear, you have to hear. But what is that hearing? That hearing process is important. So Krishna is talking about, if you look into Parikshit Maharaj, if you ask Parikshit now, or even after he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, he may not be able to even reproduce one verse from the Bhagavatam. That is the reality. Parikshit may not be able to reproduce even one verse what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken. But the reality is that Parikshit Maharaj has realized the knowledge what Sukadeva Goswami wanted to hand over to him. He has realized that truth. That is the way this spiritual life works. Spiritual life is not remembering all the verses or remembering all the courses, remembering all the seminars, remembering all the exams, remembering all the certificates. No, it has nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life is, have we understood Srimad Bhagavatam? Has it started working inside? Has the soul responding to it? And that is why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Brahmana in Srirangam, when he was reading Bhagavad Gita, he says to the Brahmana, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because Mahaprabhu noticed the changes in the Brahmana with the impact of Bhagavad Gita in him. And whereas all the other qualified Brahmanas who criticized him for the mistakes he committed while reading Bhagavad Gita and all other mistakes what he had in his while reading, none of them matter to Mahaprabhu, who says that he has understood Bhagavad Gita. It's the same thing with Srimad Bhagavatam also. So the first class hearing is that process where one hears in such a way that it starts its work inside.
realization comes inside. So Krishna says here that a personality, one who has come to that state, that he will not be understood, he will not be absorbed. Parikshit, hearing, if you remember, a great king, Parikshit, great personality, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, you cannot compare them in any way. Why? Sukadeva Goswami by nature totally renounced. For him to sit for days together without food and wander around without clothes and not concerned about any kind of bodily comforts, isn't it? Sukadeva Goswami was not at all concerned about his bodily comforts. Parikshit Maharaj, on the other hand, you can imagine, a great emperor, what comforts must have been at home, in his palace, how the life could have been. Whatever he wanted to eat, whenever he wanted to eat, he could have it. And all kinds of bodily comforts were provided to Parikshit Maharaj in the palace. And there were plenty of people to serve him. With all these comforts in the background, suddenly at one point, Sudev Parikshit is coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, even Sudev Goswami thought at one point, is Parikshit able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam properly? Is the hearing happening properly or not? This was working in Sudev Goswami's mind also. That is why when the 10th canto begins, if you look, you will see the Shamaskandam beginning, that Parikshit Maharaj observed one important thing. That Sudev Goswami has asked some questions in a way that checking whether Parikshit was able to hear properly. That is why Parikshit immediately said, Pibandam tanmugham bojajya achyudam harikadamrudam. That, my dear king, you may be thinking that I am feeling that hunger and thirst. Parikshit had every possibility that, because after experiencing such a comfort and luxury in life, suddenly you put him into a state where 7 days, 4 or 5 days have gone by now. By the 10th canto has begun, 4th or 5th day. And Parikshit hasn't eaten anything, hasn't drunk even a drop of water. And Parikshit is answering to Sudev Goswami, Pibandam tunmukham bojachudam harikathamradam. That when Harikatha Amradam is coming from your lips, it is like drinking nectar. So it is in that Sudev Goswami glorifies Parikshit Maharaj. Generally, a disciple glorifies spiritual master, isn't it? But here, in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in one instance, when spiritual master glorifies the disciple for this, that power of hearing of Parikshit, how focused he was while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and how totally absorbed in that, even hunger and thirst were unknown to him. Were not even having any effect on him. And Sukadeva Goswami naturally felt some pride in that Parikshit was able to hear in this particular state. Because the moment Parikshit heard that in 7 days' time, he's going to leave his body, that intense renunciation happened inside. Parikshit's attachment to this body, attachment to the bodily comforts, all left him in one stroke. In one stroke it left him. And that is why he sat down and heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibandam tanmukham bojachudam harikathamratam. Harikathamratam, he says that when it is flowing from Sudev Goswami's lips, where is the question of hunger and thirst? He says there. So, similarly, Krishna is saying here, that in the association of that great devotees or great personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, you will see that this happens to many, many people. So, you can see in our meditation also, when our attention goes to anything, immediately our dhyanam will break up at that point. Attention will go in another direction. So, sometimes, just like now what we are experiencing, as soon as the phone rings, everybody's attention goes to the phone. Or anything else, door opens, everybody's attention goes to the door. So, our hearing, Parikshit was not hearing like this. Fortunately, Parikshit didn't have to live with these mobile phones. And Parikshit didn't have any door to open and close. Because it was the Ganga river, banks of the river, that was open to all. Nobody could complain about, there's no space in the room, nothing. Everyone could come. Everyone was welcome. And in that conscious state, Parikshit was listening. So you can see that when Parikshit, if you read Dashamaskandam, if you read the 10th canto, you will see that. Prashanda Vigada Bhir, Brahmachari Vradesthita. So, Prashandatma means we have to be able to fix our mind free from all disturbances inside. Can you imagine some people, they watch the fantastic serial on the TV. After the serial is over, now I'm going for meditation, they say. What kind of meditation will that be? The serial will be meditated there. After this, seeing the serial. So you can see, meditation won't happen easily like that. According to your, it is not something you can do with the mind. So as soon as you start the meditation, all that what you saw in the TV serial will appear in front. So in order to, before that, Krishna says, before meditation starts, the mind should come, that the shanti must be there inside the mind. And you have to wait till then, till that peaceful state happens. So if the mind gets distributed, if the mind goes out through the senses to the world outside and attention gets distributed all over, then that meditation cannot work. Meditation cannot work. Shandam. Krishna says here, Prashandalma, Shandam. So, Krishna says that is why all this meditation is generally recommended, like chanting the japam, is also recommended in the Brahma Mahurtam time, in the early hours in the morning. Because even there is problem these days, isn't it? Our life has become so complicated that we can't go to bed early. That's first problem. Some people stay up to midnight, 1 o'clock. And then they say, I couldn't get up in the morning. How can they get up if you sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning and you want to get up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock? It's not possible. So Ayurveda says like this, in Ashtanga Hridayam, it says that instruction is that one should wake up in the Brahma Muhurtam hours. So there itself, while in Ashtanga Hridayam, in Ayurveda, when this is spoken, that one should wake up in the morning hours, early hours in the morning, in order to execute spiritual life, there are certain other instructions along with that. It says there that one should control his diet first, in order to wake up in the morning. If he eats a full big feast at 10 o'clock in the night, and then he wants to get up at 4 or 3 in the morning to perform meditation, do you think that meditation will happen? Actually, what will happen is, because the food is not digested in the night, it will cause problems. The flow of pranan gets affected. Ayurveda says the pranan gets affected. So the sleep is required in order that the food gets completely digested and it does not create any problems in the body. Therefore, all spiritually advanced people will always give this advice first, not to eat late in the evening. Not too late in the evening. Most of them, Buddha says to his disciples, you have a good meal, but during the middle of the day. After that, no more eating. After that, no more eating. We have found so many other reasons. He says it's prasadam, so we can eat as much as we want, as much quantity, any time, because it's prasadam. And if it's mahaprasadam, then don't say anything further after that. It's maha, it becomes. So our habits, Krishna is saying here, that prashandatma vigadabhi, that prashandi, what Krishna is saying here, that in order to meditation to happen, that these restrictions are necessary. Restrictions are necessary. So same thing with sleeping. So eating and sleeping are very much connected, isn't it? So Krishna says there is no fixed rule in all these things. It is up to individual. Every individual is different. But he has to know that this cannot be made as a hard and fast rule. But anyone who wants to enter into meditation, Krishna saying there, then the first thing is to wake up in the morning, early hours in the morning. In order to wake up, Krishna says, you should control the eating habits. And the best way it is controlled is by avoiding eating in the evening. Eating in the evening. Prashandalma, Krishna says here, and vigadabhi. And without any fear, one should be able to meditate.
Okay.
So when one has controlled his body in that way, control of the body and control of the mind. So Krishna is now talking about controlling the body. So when one has regulated his diet and when he sleeps sufficiently, Prabhupada mentions here as 6 hours maximum one should sleep. In one of the verses you will see later, Prabhupada says there, one should not sleep more than 6 hours. But this is not a rule that anywhere. Shastram doesn't say 6 hours. What Shastram is telling us that one should know that in order to wake up in the morning, one has to control the eating habits. So in order that freedom from that fear, Kavi Maharshi said before, Bhayam didiyar abhinivesha tasyal ishad avedase vibhayayo smriti, that as long as there is duality in this world, freedom from duality is necessary in order that one has to be freedom from fear to happen. So whatever we are frightened of, we'll be keeping thinking about it all the time, isn't it? That is our nature. Suppose we are frightened of something, our thoughts will be all the time centered around that particular object. If you are frightened about your boss, you'll be thinking about the boss in the office. If you are frightened about some sickness, diabetes or cancer or whatever that is, your mind in a very subtle level will meditate on diabetes and cancer. So like this, you can see in your own life that wherever our mind is absorbed, fearful of something, it is that thing that is always in our mind. That's always in our mind. And it is this principle of fear Krishna utilized very well in getting Kamsa out of this world. Have you noticed that? Chindayano Hrishikesham Abhashyan Tanmayam Jagad Ashina Samvishas Tishtan Bunjanam Paryadanmahim Chindayano Hrishikesham Abhashyat Tanmayam Jagad. It is an important principle in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That absorption in one doesn't matter in which way you get absorbed. It is immaterial. But absorption is important. Kamsa absorbed in Krishna through fear. Isn't it? Kamsa absorbed in Krishna through fear. In order to get that intensity of fear fully intense, Krishna gave 12 years to Kamsa to become that intense fear to develop inside. So what happened? 12 years, very intense meditation on Krishna, Kamsa had. That is Krishna's mercy to Kamsa. In fact, if Krishna wanted to kill Kamsa, he could have killed the first day itself when Krishna appeared, isn't it? He didn't kill Kamsa then. All that thing happened, 12 years in Vrindavanam. After that, Krishna decided to kill Kamsa. So basically, Krishna has done this favor to Kamsa that let Kamsa's meditation, first time when Kamsa heard that when he was taking Vasudeva and Devaki to the palace after the marriage, from the sky came the announcement, the 8th child of Devaki Devi will kill you. From that moment, the fear developed in Kamsa's mind, isn't it? Kamsa started getting frightened at that moment. From then onwards, the meditation started. When is he coming? When is he going to come? So a person like Kamsa, whose mind is completely external, nothing internal, something was required like that. A stroke was, that is Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, Kamsa will never look inward. Kamsa will only look outward. The Kamsa's outward looking is well known, isn't it? All the arrangements he made after that. So, in order to turn that mind from external world to inward looking nature, Kamsa had to experience that. So, whomever we are frightened of, our meditation will be on that. So, so if we are frightened of Krishna, we will meditate on Krishna. But because we are not frightened about Krishna, we are not meditating on Krishna either. So, that's why it is said that Chindayana Hrishikesham Apashyal Tanmayam Jagat. You see, when Kamsa thinking about Krishna, Chindayana Hrishikesham, Apashyal Tanmayam Jagat, the whole world, whomever we saw any moment, is Krishna is coming there. Is that Krishna who is coming? One time when he returned from the prison after Devaki Devi had the baby, and one night Kamsa went to see Devaki Devi. When he came back, his wife Asti and Prapti were following him. So Kamsa looked and started thinking, is there Krishna coming? Looking at his own wife. Came back and sat down. Ashina Shamvishas Tishtan Bunjanyam Pariyadan Mahim. He came and sat down, his expensive sofa set, what he had. But he could not trust his sofa set. So he took his cushions off and looked if Krishna is underneath that. Put the cushion back and then sat on it. And every few minutes he used to wake up because he heard that Vishnu can appear from anywhere. And he heard Prahlada's story that he has appeared from the pillar. So if he can appear from the pillar, can he not appear from the sofa set? This was Kamsa's logic. Kamsa has every reason to think like that, isn't it? So that's why I said, Asina Sammishas Tishtan Bunjanam Bariyadan Mahim. Wherever he looked, all he can see, could see was Krishna. Krishna, 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 all the time. So he didn't have to chant 16 rounds. So he was 192 rounds he was chanting every day. That is Krishna consciousness. Okay, it is in another form. In the Bhagavadam, this kind of devotion is called Sambhramba Sambhrada Samadhi Yoga. That's the word used in the 7th canto. You will see there when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, that how come Yudhishthira Maharaj's question to Narada Maharshi was this. And Sukadeva Goswami quoted this and spoke to Parikshit in the 7th canto. What was that? Question was this. How come Shishubala, Dandavatra, Kamsa and so many others went back to the spiritual world? We are chanting here still Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There is no sign of any going anywhere. So why is this? It's a very logical question, isn't it? We are chanting so many rounds. None of them, Shishuvala didn't chant, Dandavatra didn't chant, Kamsa didn't chant, Pudana didn't chant, none of them chanted anything. They all got back very soon, without any delay. Here we are still not sure. We are not even sure whether to want to go back or not. Whether we want to stay back here or is it better here or there. We are still comparing. It's here better or there better. So this is our state. So it is in answer to that Sudeva Goswami said to Parikshit, in quoting from Yudhishthira Maharaj who spoke to Narada Maharshi, spoke to him. Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, it is like this. Bhakti is in different levels. This is all bhakti only. Kamsa's bhakti is in another pattern, that's all. They are also devotees, but it is in a different style, that's all. The bhakti is in a different style. But generally, it is mentioned there, Gopya Gamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshe Chaityadayo Nirva Sambandham Vrishnayasnehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. Srinarada Maharshi summarized the whole thing. How did he say? That he says there, Gopya Kamal, Gopis have come to Krishna out of lusty desires. Seeing Krishna's beauty and attraction, they got attracted to Krishna. Krishna got attracted to them, and in that process they got liberated from this. Bhayad Kamsa. Kamsa was fearful of Krishna. And that fear grew, and in all these emotions, all lust, fear, hate, and love, all of them, they are all emotions. All of them, when it increases and when it becomes very intense, at some point, Krishna releases them from this material existence. And that is how it happens. Gopya Kamat Bhayat Kamsa Deshe Chaityadayo Nirva. Shishubala, what did he do? Shishubala says, the moment he opens his mouth, whatever he has to say, one word about Krishna was total nonsense. Whatever he has spoken. Deshe Chaityadayo Nirva. Always hate. Hate towards Krishna. He couldn't tolerate. Somebody talks about Krishna, Shishubala could not tolerate it. Shishubala had a big argument with Sahadeva about this. Isn't it? He says to Sahadeva, when he comes, he won't say Krishna, when he comes, I don't want to be here, he said. Rajasuyam sacrifice. So that's how Shishubala was. That hate has become so intense. One day Krishna said, let him also come back to the spiritual world. He is ready for it now. That is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. Deshe Chaityadayo Nirva. Sambandho Vrishnaya. Vrishni is, they have, due to their marriage relationships with Krishna, they have developed bhakti. Sambandho Vrishnaya Snehad Yuyam. All the Pandavas, they have loving relationship with Krishna. Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam. Through devotion, us. Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. We also develop devotion to Krishna through bhakti. So, Bhakti has all these different aspects of it, which we have to take into account. So Krishna's case, in this our case of Kamsa, what we find here is that 12 years time Krishna has given to Kamsa to get this intense fear inside. Said, and as soon as the announcement happened from the sky, the fear started in Krishna. Asina Samvishastishtan. So, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayanam, there is one personality who has gone back to Krishna through fear, which you know very well, isn't it? In Bhagavatam, it is Kamsa, and Ramayanam, it is Marija. Marija's case. If you remember in Ramayanam, it is the same situation. If you ask Marija, many interesting things. There is a conversation between Ravana and Marija together. Ravana asked Marija to go in front of Ramchandra and to distract Ramchandra's attention by dressing up like a golden deer. He goes there. So, but as soon as the word Rama was spoken, Marija got frightened, because previously Marija had an experience that the arrow from Ramchandra's bow, that is frightened, he went all over and the arrow followed him. From that day onwards, Marija said, I'm not going to hear this word Rama anymore. It causes so much fear in my mind. So he says to Ravana, Ravana, don't use that Ra first. Everything else you can say, but the moment you say Ra, it becomes, disturbs my mind. I get frightened. So therefore, in Valmiki Ramayanam, it says like this, Ragaradini Namani Rama Trastasya Ravana Ratnanija Radhaja Eva Satrasam Janayantime. He says here, any word which starts with the letter Ra, it causes problem, he says. Ratnam, Ratnam means jewel, or Ratham, chariot. Don't say any of these words, he says to me. Who says this? Marija says to Ravana, Ragaradini Namani, any name which begins with Ra, he says, don't mention that. Rama Trastasya Ravana. So therefore, Rama, that name also don't mention to me. And your name also is a problem for me, he says to Ravana. That it also begins, unfortunately, with the letter Ra. So you can see the problem where Marija had such a fear of Ramchandra that at that point he says like this, that, that he says here. So, after, when Marija met Ramchandra in the Vishwamitra's sacrificial arena, isn't it? That's where it happened. So, from then onwards, he says here, Vrishe Vrisheja Vashyami Chira Krishna Jinambaram Grihidam Danusham Ramam Pashahastam Ivandagam. When Ramachandra shot the arrow towards Marija, from that onwards he says there, Vrikshe Vrisheja Pashyami, and every time I look at a tree, what do I see? I think as though it is Ramachandra standing there wearing the deer skin. Chira Krishnajina Ambaram. Grihidam Dhanusham Ramam. Ramachandra is standing with his bow and arrow. And Pasha Hastam Ivandagam, that is my death is coming. Directly is appearing in front of me. So much frightened was Marija about Ramachandra. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see Kamsa has gone back to the spiritual world through this fear. In Ramayanam, you see that he see Ramachandra as death personified in front of Marija. Marija also goes back to the spiritual world. So, here, we see here now that Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kamsa, they all get liberated. Isn't it? They all got liberated. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kamsa, they all got liberated. So, what is the basis on which? In Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yudhishthira asked this question, Narada Maharshi says, they were also performed meditation. So, why we are saying this is, how important this chapter is, sixth chapter, meditation. Meditation is important because meditation has to happen inside somehow. So, dhyanam, when it happens in a natural way, like it happened to Kamsa, like it happened to Marija, like it happened to Shishubala, and many others, somehow or the other, dhyanam has to happen. The meditation has to happen. They didn't sit in one place and meditate. It has captured them. Meditation captured them. So Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Ravana and all of them, that is known in the Bhagavatam as Samrambha Sambhrada Samadhi Yoga. That is the word given to us. That constantly fearing, constantly fearful of Krishna, or constantly hating Krishna. Constantly hating Krishna. If you hate somebody very intensely, what will happen? There will be only one thought inside about that person whom you hate. Isn't it? Whereas, if you love somebody, no matter how deep the love is, it has also its limitations. It will only, and sometimes you will remember him, or you may make a phone call, send an email, or something like that you may do. But beyond than that, that love cannot go further than that. But if you hate someone, the intensity of that hate is a lot more than the intensity of love. That is why these people, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kamsa and all that, they have come here, they have taken the ticket when they came here, that this is the path they are going to follow. When they left Vaikuntham, they had come with this ticket, that we will hate you and we will go back to the spiritual world in that way. So that is not a path for everybody. We cannot do that. If you want to become like Kamsa, we can't become. If you want to become like Ravana, we can't become. Hiranyakashipu, we can't become. We have to follow those devotees who have followed this process. Mahajano yena gadasa pantha. That is the instruction for us. But the principle of bhakti is this, that whether it is Hiranyakashipu or Ravana or Kamsa or the gopis, ultimately they were all in meditation. Isn't it? They were all in dhyanam. Constant absorption in Krishna. Either through love or through lust or through hate or through fear. It doesn't matter. In one of these emotions, they all became to their perfectional stage. That is what Bhagavatam is saying here. So imagine about us. We met somebody from another village. We know someone there whom we don't like. And immediately we will say, and he mentions to you, do you know about that person? And then you will inquire about that person whom you don't like. That is how our mind is, isn't it? It works in that direction. So whatever conversation you may have, ultimately it will all come back to that person whom you don't like. So it is the very nature of the mind. Very nature of the mind. So Krishna is saying here, it is the same way that our mind, wherever it gets absorbed, the one what you are frightened of, that will take its position inside. Just like ghost. We are all frightened about the ghost, isn't it? So why is he frightened about the ghost? Because so it is our own fear that manifests in front of us in the form of this ghost. Actually, there is no such thing as that. But it is a fear inside that takes the form of the ghost and comes and frightens us. So, but if you have the courage to invite the ghost to come home for a meal or invite him, then you won't have any problem after that. But because the fear inside, and there is a ghost, and that fear we have, somehow it is embedded very strongly inside, and that takes a form and appears in front of us. So, so when our meditation is centered around Krishna, in that object what we are meditating upon, meditation in the process of bhakti is for loving relationship. So therefore, in meditation, what Krishna says here is, whatever objects in this world and which creates any, excites any emotion inside, none of them should be allowed to get in. None of them should be allowed to get in. So if you allow your mind to get attached to any of those things, any object in this world, and whichever that excites any emotions inside, if you allow the mind to get attached to it, that will become a problem later. That will be the greatest problem, obstacle in the path of meditation, in dhyanam. In dhyanam. If you hate somebody, they will get into your mind and he will sit there. And he will sit there. Similarly, if you have any attachment towards anyone, that will also happen in the same way. So, it not only fear, any emotions for that matter, that Krishna says, unless all these emotions are kept at a distance, without allowing them to get inside, only then meditation is possible. That is the point Krishna is making here. So, it is in this connection, Krishna is saying here, that brahmachari ദൃഢ ബ്രഹ്മചാരി വ്രതേ സ്ഥിതാഹ. ദ സെക്കൻഡ് ലൈൻ. സോ പ്രശാന്താത്മാ വിഗതഭി, പ്രശാന്താത്മാ വിഗതഭി ബ്രഹ്മചാരി ബ്രഹ്മചാരി വ്രതേ സ്ഥിതാഹ. നോ, ബ്രഹ്മചാരി മീൻസ് വാട്ട്? ബ്രഹ്മചാരി, വി തിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ് വൺ ഹു ഇസ് നോട്ട് മാരീഡ് ഇസ് എ ബ്രഹ്മചാരി, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? But that is not what Krishna is talking about here. Krishna says here, brahmachari means that brahmacharyam is only that person who has come to that, whose mind is always fixed in Brahman, whose mind is fixed in Brahma, Brahmanishtha, as it is called. So, so any topic that will take us away from Krishna, that, and one who does not keep any connection with such topics, he is a brahmachari. That is Krishna's definition of brahmachari. Anything that will not separate us from Krishna and from the soul, in other words, one who is able to, and one who does not make any contact with such objects, he is a brahmachari. In the Vishnu Sahasranamam, there is a word referred to Krishna as anadi brahmachari. When in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna's head was gone, nobody could see Arjuna's head. It was gone and reached some another planet somewhere else. And at that time, a voice on the sky said, if there is a brahmachari here who can say he is a proper brahmachari, Arjuna's head will come back. So nobody could say, and Krishna says, I am that brahmachari. He says, anadi brahmachari. That's why Krishna got the name as brahmachari. Why is that? Because totally fixed in Brahman, all the time conscious of what he is, self-realized in perfection, isn't it? And that is brahmachari, anadi brahmachari. On the other hand, according to our calculations, if you look at it, 16,108 wives and 10 children from each wife and a daughter. So you can imagine the family life of Krishna. And we call him as brahmachari, anadi brahmachari cha. So brahmachari means, from the shastram, Krishna is saying here, it is that person who is completely fixed on the truth, who does not waver from that any moment. So, anything that will separate us from there, Krishna calls it as that, that is brahmacharya dosham. Krishna says here, brahmachari vrade sthidaha. So, even after marriage, if the householder has spiritual life, strong and intense spiritual life, he is considered to be, his life is brahmachari life. His life is brahmachari life. So, because nothing is separating him from Krishna, isn't it? Nothing is separating him from Krishna, therefore he is a brahmachari. Therefore, brahmacharya vrade sthidaha. So, one who has no attachment to any sense objects, all the time absorbed in meditation or Bhagavad Dhyanam, that is manam samyamya machito. Krishna says the next, where is next line? Krishna says, manas samyamya machito yuktam asida malpara. That is the qualification for a brahmachari. So, manasamyama machito, manas, mind has become completely antarmukham. And, in other words, handed over the mind to Krishna. So, Krishna is only interested in the mind. Krishna is not interested in the anything else. Manas te padabje nimasadu vaja stotra vanitau. Surrendering the mind, offering the mind to Krishna, that is the only thing what is required. That's what Krishna says here. That manas samyamma machitto and yukta asida malparam. So, and in Salsangam, what we are discussing here now is that all these topics related to Krishna, all the topics related to Krishna, including Brahmavidya, if we constantly hearing this, if one has a taste for that, Krishna says here that Salsangam will help him. Otherwise, one who has no interest in these subjects, in this topic, he won't come anymore. Therefore, Krishna's advice to us is, suppose you receive a guest at home, take Srimad Bhagavatam and start discussing with him. If you start discussing with him, it will turn out to be a good satsangam or Bhagavad Gita. If that person finds that it's not interesting at all, he will not come and bother you anymore after that. So in either way, Krishna says, in either way, satsangam should be created at home, not anything else. Otherwise, this impossible to develop this understanding. He says, manas samyamya machito yuktam asida malpara. That's the only way, Krishna says, this dhyanam will develop inside. Almadhyanam, once it has happened, then it is a different story altogether. The body, the mind, the senses, everything, Krishna says a devotee should purify them through sadhana and through satsangam and offer it to Krishna. Then that is why asida malparaha, that's what word means. And Krishna consciousness in that way, Krishna says, you will reach that dhyanam state, that dhyanam state. And that is the next verse which we'll read through now.
Yunjan evam sadatmanam
yogi
niyada manasam shandim nirvana paramam matsamastam abhigacchadim. Yunjam evam sadatmanam
yogi
niyada manasam shandim nirvana paramam matsamstam adigacchadi. Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyadamanasa shandim nirvana paramam mat shandim abhigacchadi. Thus practicing control of the body, mind and activities, the mystic transcendentalist attains to the kingdom of God or the abode of Krishna by cessation of material existence. So we will continue this discussion next Sunday. In the meanwhile, because this topic related to Dhyana Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Ekadasi Skandam also Dhyana Yogam discussed, a literature which is very close to this topic is Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram. So that Bhakti Sutram, which we will discuss on Saturdays, afternoon from 2 to 5 in 47 Banstock Road in Edgware. So you can get the address from Naveen. Naveen will give you the address if you want, or it could be on the website as well. 47 Banstock Road, Edgware, HA89JQ.
We don't want to publicize the address. If they can send us the email.
Yeah, it's okay. So those who are like to hear Narada Bhakti Sutram, we'll discuss that on next few Saturdays. We'll stop here today and continue next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.